Every Sunday, we begin our worship with two particular prayers. Although, to tell you the truth, from the perspective of students of liturgy and worship, everything we do here is prayer. The music, standing, kneeling, bowing, our words, listening, receiving the sacraments, everything we do is prayer. Yet when we gather, we do always begin with these particular prayers in our service of worship. Two things that are called collects. And a collect is a particular kind of prayer that is supposed to collect the petitions of all the people present and give them voice in a particular way. The first collect that we always pray is the same. It is known as the collect for purity, and it's a profound statement. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, we ask God to cleanse and empower us to authentically participate in this holy time that we've set apart for worship. And after that, we pray the collect of the day. It's the collect of the day, the Lord's Day, because it changes every week. And it's particular to the readings, the themes that are found in the Scripture. Just a few minutes ago, we prayed that our merciful God, you may remember mercy was mentioned in the psalm, that our merciful God would give this community the ability to demonstrate God's power among all people in the larger community. How exactly are we to show forth God's power? Surely it has something to do with how we live. How would someone who is not a follower of Jesus know that you are? I have it pretty easy. I wear this white collar, and that tells everyone that I'm a Christian, more or less, in a particular way. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of the finest preachers in our church, lives in Atlanta, wrote in her book, The Preaching Life, that if the cross that is traced on our foreheads at baptism, if that cross were visible all the time, what would the church look like? If it were visible in the same way that a clergyman or woman wears a collar, would we be treated differently? Would we behave differently? But is it different? Our identity as Christians begins with the water of baptism, but it's how we live throughout our lives that shows forth God's power in our lives. So think about it. How are each of us to live to show God's power among those we know, among our coworkers, among our siblings, our families, our neighbors, and friends? How would any of them know that you're a follower of Jesus? How does the way that you live bear witness to the fruit and the truth that you've inherited from this community or from another Christian community of believers, the church, gathered, as the collect said? It's fine to be kind and gentle and respectful, but that's not quite what Jesus was really about. In fact, Jesus often is quite harsh and unruly. And I think he is because he interprets God's truth differently than the temple establishment's interpretation of God's truth. And before we start wagging our finger, we might wonder, are we interpreting God's truth the way Jesus would? And of course, Jesus wasn't at all the first person to behave that way. That's what all the prophets did. And that's why Jesus is referred to before the resurrection as a great prophet like Moses. They rejected the ways of Israelite society, rather the ways that Israelite society had twisted rules, ways of living, twisted the grace and the mercy of God out of them. That's what Isaiah is on about in this passage today. He isn't making a theoretical proposition. Well, if you do this, then God will do that. He's indicting people for not living the way that God demonstrated in the power of their lives. He delivered them from Egypt, from slavery. He demonstrated his power in their lives, and they're to live in response to that. When he says, if you remove the yoke from among you, he means that people actually were yoking, enslaving one another. If you remove the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, if because too many people weren't doing exactly what the covenant required of them. And so Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath. And we hear there are 6 days on which work is to be done, but not on the Sabbath. So in this particular synagogue, at least, in this particular story, God's teaching is interpreted to mean that healing is the same as work, the same as plowing a field. That's how they interpreted Moses' teaching. Jesus has a different interpretation. In fact, Jesus has a different interpretation pretty much every time of what God means for us to know about God and how to be God's people. His interpretations are generally more generous, more whole, more strenuous, more inclusive and more merciful and more life-saving and more loving. Because that is who God is. The God who restores us to full relationship despite how very far we have fallen from the glory of God. Not one of us deserves that love. Not one. And yet we pray this prayer this morning. How are we to show forth God's glory and power and love to the people who have no idea that there really is another way to see the world? There really is another way to be in this world. The very next verse that follows the so-called end of today's gospel is this. Jesus therefore began to say, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in the garden. It grew into a tree, and the birds of the sky made their nests in the branches." So I suggest that the smallest act of mercy, even the very smallest act of love, of concern and care for another person, is a mustard seed among the very smallest of seeds. After the 8 o'clock service this morning, a woman came to me and said, "When you said that about the mustard seed, I remembered for the first time in decades that when I was a little girl, I had a mustard seed necklace and a little glass bead." Maybe some of you know what that is. The smallest act of mercy and love can grow into a tree that sustains life. It can grow into a community like the church that sustains life. May we leave this service of worship renewed in our confidence in the love that God has for us, that we can go into the broken world, the hurting world, and be known as followers of the way of Jesus. People of God, people who live in a particular way, people who have a particular identity that starts with cross and baptism, and hopefully grows into a tree that others can find hope and rest and safety in. Scatter your mustard seeds in every corner of your life, the light places and the dark places, the open spaces of your life. Scatter them as abundantly as God does to us and see what grows.